IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my dear guest in the studio, sitting with me here in the studio, Brother Habib and Brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to both of you. First, let me start with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, Brother Habib, at your service. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. And Brother Mahdi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Mahdi, and I'm really glad to be here with you guys, inshallah.
You're my pleasure.
Enjoy this night.
Thank you very much. In these series of programs, we are, in fact, delving into some issues, and we hope and expect you, in fact, to contribute as much as you can to the topics that are raised, usually. I wanted to say that, I know, related to the previous topic that we had, the relationship between COVID-19 and religious identity. Religious identity doesn't happen in vacuum, by the way. All right. Religious identity is constituted or formed by a set of beliefs that people gather throughout time, from their childhood, even when they were...
From what they hear, from what they study, from
exactly.
what they read.
Exactly. And we have many sources that are feeding us, right? And those sources, in fact, somehow form our personality, every identity that we carry within ourselves. Religious identity being one of them, right? So that's something quite to consider for the previous topic. And then I just wanted to ask you, Brother Mahdi, do we have to hold these religious gatherings, like, for example, Arba'in procession?
I believe it's a necessity. For me, I can't live without visiting Karbala. I can't live without visiting the shrines of Lady Masuma. I can't live without going to Mashhad. I can't live without going to Masjid. That's part of my life. That's a necessity of mine. And that's how do we respect, in the United States, how come we respect the choice of people who decide to go unvaccinated because they do not believe in vaccination? I think it's a matter of respecting the choice. But am I going to impose it to others? No, that's my right. Lady Masuma, for example, her shrine is for everyone. That's my right to visit her. Well, social distancing, place it on as a policy. Put it inside the harem so people visit the shrine with social distancing.
But a lot of scientists say otherwise. They argue against your view that they say that in most of these public gatherings, in fact, they see... more of these, let's say, whatchamacallit, infection going on, you know?
Well, that's what I was saying back in the United States. I said to people, don't go to Costco, right? Don't go to Costco from tomorrow on. Why is the masjid is closed down?
Yeah, they don't differentiate between the two. They don't say only the religious gathering. They say every kind of gathering.
That's my point of view.
That's the philosophy behind all the quarantines that was going on, in fact, in every corner of the world, you know?
Sure. Except for Brother Muhammad Jawad, when when this virus first started, the first thing that popped up to my mind was, why are we shutting down everything? I was against the idea of, you know, quarantine. I was also against the idea of starting research for vaccine. I was with the idea of searching for medicine.
They were doing the same thing. But in the meantime, before then, the world has been taking us a prize.
No. They ruined their businesses.
We see the experience of China. And he was, I think it was successful to
some
extent.
It wasn't successful. It wasn't successful. At the end of the day, people got infected. Even those who stayed quarantined their entire... I know a person.
No, they didn't know it then.
I know a person. Even though they didn't know it. Even now if they know it. Even if they didn't know at the time. We know people who got the corona. They survived. Yes, people passed away. I know a person who stayed in his house throughout the 1.5 years. How long have we been with this?
Probably virus? About 2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years. He's been in his house. He only goes outside to buy cigars.
Okay.
Right? That's the only thing he goes out. And he, you know, cleans everything and he does everything. That person caught it. He caught it. At the end of the day, one day or another, we're going to get it. It's something that they all accepted, that as long as it's a contagious disease, we're going to get it. SARS wasn't as fast as this one was, but This one is faster. Okay, yes. No problem. So we're going to get it. Why did we quarantine? Why did we ruin our businesses? Why did we close down our opportunities? Why do people have to go through these hardships? Why did governments have to pay for their
individuals? So this way, you make it spread faster.
Let it spread faster. Who's going to die? I personally believe if I was going to die, well, at least let me die when I was visiting.
You can't tell that to those.
You don't want to go stay in your house.
The victims, let them stay in house. The mourners of over 5 million people who have been dead as a result of COVID-19.
Sometimes, yes, it happens as an accident. Okay, we mourn with them. But at the end of the day, car accidents are available. I don't know what airplane accidents are available. I don't know what kind of other examples.
But we don't expose ourselves to the car accidents, do we?
You're exposing. Every time you go on the road, you're exposing yourself.
Yeah, but you don't go that with that intention.
Accidents happen. All right, so if you're afraid, stay at your home.
Maybe Brother Habib means this. Maybe he means that if, look at it as a religious duty, as a taklif, that if you're having symptoms, it's a religious taklif on you to stay away from.
If you're never going to hurt someone, for example. Exactly. That's what Sayyid Sistani's office gave out in Najaf.
Yeah, lots of religious authorities, even in Rome.
But I have had a personal experience, Brother Muhammad Jawad. Well, I'm a preacher of Islam and I go abroad. And I recite for Ahlul Bayt. And from the beginning of COVID, many of the people who were in my field, they stayed away. Many of them were scared of spreading COVID. Many of them were scared of
getting
infected and dying.
Yes.
What I did was that these people have left out the field, so I have to sup for them so that the flag of Ahlul Bayt shouldn't fall down. That's what I felt. The flag of Ahlul Bayt will never fall down if I'm dead or alive. So what I did was, if I was going to recite like once a day or once a week, that was multiplied by a couple times more because I was subbing for other people as well.
Yes.
People, the very first Muharram of COVID, many of the majalis, many of the gatherings in the United States and in Europe became virtual, right? But our masjid had its program in person.
Right.
And let me be honest with you, being in the danger of getting infected by the COVID, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until today, being in close proximity of so many of the believers, I haven't got the COVID. And I believe the only reason for that was the mercy of Allah. Nothing else. And that's what my belief is. This might increase a lot of controversies, right?
Yes.
But this is my belief.
But lots of other people...
I'm pretty sure Brother Habib can add to this matter.
But lots of other people, in fact, got infected and they died.
They did.
And they were also believers.
Yeah, true. And what happened, true, that's why I'm not going to make a law out of it. I'm not going to make a qa'ide.
Yes.
Right?
General rule.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a general rule for it, but this is what I experienced myself. Those who backed
they
down.
They missed out. Exactly. I personally believe, I talked to this even with, you know, one of the maraja. They missed out. They closed the majalis that they had in their office and whatnot, and their homes and whatnot. Yet, after Muharram, this alim passed away. They had to go into Haram Amir al-Mu'mineen. They had to have people come over and go over. All of it was against what? The COVID, 19 restrictions. Yet at the same time, when I asked one of them, jokingly, of course, because if I was too harsh on them, they're harsh as well. They said that, yeah, we did a mistake. We missed out on Muharram. Because nothing happened. All right, he passed away. And we didn't do majalis.
Yes.
People went to other majalis.
And Quranically, we believe that when your time comes, you're going to pass away with COVID, with heart infection. I mean, infarctus.
But you can't hasten it.
No, that's the thing.
We can hasten it with
right
sinning.
Right away, what popped into my mind.
We can hasten it with sinning. I mean, no one is...
Exactly.
Right?
That's
no one
true.
Is. No, I'm not imposing myself into suicide, right?
Mm. Exactly. That's
like
the thing.
Hastening it in terms of that, I mean, suicide itself is a sin.
Yes.
Right? I can hasten my death with sinning, and I can prolong my life with obedience of Allah. And that's what we pray for. I'm like, these daily du'as that we have, one of them is saying this. We ask Allah, if I start sinning, if my sins become more than the obedience, the acts of obedience,
right,
and the good deeds that I gather, Allah, hasten my death so that I pass away from this world sooner with less of burden on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Right? Opposite to that, and we can do some other things, like, for example, paying alms or charity may prolong your life.
So that's a good deed. Yes. Good deeds can prolong your life, and at the same time, hastening it. I mean, shorter life is a cause most of the times. And let me see. I was reading this in one of the Islamic sources that prior to Islam, the death were like people were walking the side of the street and all of a sudden they die. This type of gradual death that you get into sicknesses, long sicknesses, is one of the signs of mercy of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Because your sins get forgiven.
You get purged.
Exactly. The darknesses in your soul and the spirit gets purified. You become mutahhar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add something else to this topic altogether. Where are we going with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is, that we have to entrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do asma billahi ta'ala and, you know, ask for protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These concepts, all of them, all of a sudden were flown out of the window. You know, all right, go outside. No. Corona 19. No. Majlis. No. Corona 19. Right? They would close it. What about trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? True, like how we Allah all agreed on. It's not suicide. As long as you're not 100% certain that you're going to die, or you're like even 90% certain that you're going to die, even though you may get infected, all right, it's like the normal, you know, flu, you know, that, with that kind of thing, but a little bit more severe. At the end of the day, we also trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I mean,
we also have that, you know, belief in protect in Allah's protection. Where did we throw that out?
Let's become a polytheist a little bit. There was one of the ulama, one of the scholars went there and they said, what is the topic of your speech, your lecture? He said, I want to ask people who to become polytheist. And they said, what do you mean? He said, just make Allah contribute a little bit, 5% into your belief. So this really bothers me myself in my private times, that I believe in protection of this face mask that I wear,
right,
that scientifically does not 100% secures you from getting COVID.
Not even the vaccines that we take.
Exactly, the vaccine. I trust those more than Allah, right? One of the tests, personal test that I went through from the beginning of COVID was that my iman got testified.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in Allah? How much do I believe in Allah? The amount of belief in Allah that I have practiced in the times of ease and comfort, it's going to show itself in the times of tribulations and discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
In the times of, in the situations like COVID, right? How much they get connected to Allah prior to that? How ready did I get for difficulties and tests that are going to come to my way? In this dunya, how much have I been connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's going to show and reflect itself on the day of judgment.
Right.
Right? There's an angel called Khazin, right? That angel is said
at
to
the gate
be
of
exactly
the hell.
That angel is said to be to have a very horrific look,
mm-hmm,
that anyone who sees that angel gets really horrified and terrified, mm-hmm, right? It's been said that the angel is so scary to the extent that you forget all of the ma'arif and all of those belief that you've had in this world.
No,
unless and except you have been really practicing what you believed in, mm-hmm, this life of dunya.
Yes.
For example, Ahlul Bayt, the love of Imam Hussein, you're going to forget it unless you truly lived it in this dunya.
Yes.
One thing that we've been talking about, you know, how religious people are affected by it. I'm intrigued to understand more about how atheists are affected by it. Those who believe in science is the answer to everything. They know they believe in the maddiyat, materialistic world.
Yes.
One, I don't know how small that is, you know, precisely, but the thing is small. You can't even see it. That one little thing that affects the, you know, the codes in your DNA to a point where everything closes, where everything, you know, just goes down together, where they saw themselves, where they believe that humanity has become superior and whatnot, all, mm-hmm, those beliefs, all of a sudden, fear for something that cannot be seen, is so small that cannot be seen, how it changed life, how it changed the way we view life, how
right,
it changed the way we view medicine, the way we view how to treat things, how it opened us, you know, to put either hand in hand, and, you know, in some countries fight over toilet papers.
And also reconsider all of our beliefs and actions.
Exactly. Those atheists or those scientistic, you know, scientists, you know, kind of people, how are they, you know, believing between themselves? That really just intrigues me. I want to understand more about, you know, how they feel, how they are.
I think they are motivated by other things, such as, like, we religious people, we believe in the hereafter. We believe in...
No, I know, but like, for example, like... You know,
there is a goal
for
us.
They were living in peace and harmony.
Certainly there is a goal for them too, right? But their goal may not be like a spiritual or...
They can't cure it. That's the thing. Now, for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to send Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, you know, on the general laws that we studied in theology, mm-hmm. he would come with a cure for it, for example. Okay. So I don't know, maybe.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Brother Mahdi, for your nice talk and contribution to the program.
Debate.
Yes,
it wasn't that. We were debating with the host. We were agreeing on this topic.
Thank you very much for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, signing off. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.